Chelek Yudalid, Parshas Re'eh, Sicha Aleph. In this week's Parsha, we learn the prohibition of eating the blood of a slaughtered animal. After we are told that we are permitted to eat meat that has been slaughtered outside of the temple for consumption, we are taught the prohibition of eating the blood. This prohibition is in Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Chav Gimel, and reads as follows. Rak chazak, however, be strong, levilti echol hadam, not to eat the blood, ki hadam hu hanefesh, for blood is the soul, veloy techel hanefesh im habasar, and the soul should not be consumed with the flesh. Rashi comments and explains the words, rak chazak levilti echol hadam, and says the fact that it says in the pasuk that it says chazak in the pasuk tells us that the eating of blood was a common indulgence at the time, and therefore Moshe commands them saying chazak, strengthen yourselves against this taiva. This, says Rashi, are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi then adds the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, who says something that seems to be quite the opposite. He says the pasuk isn't telling us that blood was an indulgence, rather that this mitzvah, to be wary not to consume blood, was not at all difficult for them. For man does not have a desire for this. So the word chazak is used to teach that even when a mitzvah is not difficult, one should take care and be strong in its fulfillment as much as one would strengthen oneself with a mitzvah that involves a taiva. Nowhere else do we find the word chazak in the specific performance of mitzvahs. And the emphasis here, therefore, is thought-provoking and worthy of greater question and discussion. What puzzles us about this Rashi is the often-discussed rule of Rashi, that when two interpretations are brought, there is something in the one that Rashi feels is lacking in the other. And the first explanation Rashi brings is always closest to the literal meaning of the words of the pasuk that are being discussed. And so, in this instance, we ask, what was challenging or missing about this first explanation, that blood was a frequent indulgence until they received this commandment, chazak, be careful, be wary not to eat the blood, and therefore the word chazak, be strong and don't indulge yourselves in this, is used versus the second explanation of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, who says blood was not an indulgence and chazak is used to teach the lesson that a Jew must strengthen himself even in the easier mitzvahs. And what may be lacking in the second explanation that requires the first? The Rebbe goes further in discussing the challenges in Rashi. This disagreement between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is not in some minor detail of the facts. They seem to disagree on the very fact itself, whether, as Rabbi Yehuda says, blood was an indulgence, or just the opposite, as Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says. And this isn't a historical context disagreement, that perhaps at one time in history they were balei taivaniks for blood, and another time in history it was different. They disagree, according to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, on a fact that existed in that specific period in history. And according to Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, this was not a taiva throughout all history, including the time, of course, when they were given this particular warning. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it was. How can their opinions be so divergent? Looking at the way they each, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, express their opinions leads us to another question. Rabbi Yehuda says they were shtufin bedam, flooded with this or immersed in blood. In other words, with his desire for blood. Reb Shimon says that no one desired it. In other words, no one desired the consumption of blood. Why did they use such starkly different terminology? Flooded, stufin, or steeped in blood, versus taiva, desire. And so that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, when he says that they didn't have this desire, he doesn't say they were not stufin bibdam, that they were not immersed in this desire for blood. In Pasuk Chaf Hei, we learn in our perek the reward for abstaining from eating blood. You shall not eat it, says the Torah, lema'an yitavloch, in order that it would be good for you, lema'an yitavlocho, in order that it will be good for you. Rashi comments, blood disgusts a person who distances himself and abstains from blood. He who distances himself and abstains from blood earns merit for both himself and for his children after him. So on this pasuk, on pasuk Chaf Hei, where we learn the reward for abstaining from blood, there Rashi says, blood disgusts an individual, and that the one who distances himself and abstains from it earns merit for both himself and for his children after him. The idea that blood disgusts a person is understood as a reality throughout time. This statement that Rashi makes here, that man is naturally disgusted by blood, neither supports our first explanation in our Rashi, that Rabbi Yehuda says that at the time they were shtufin, deeply immersed in their taiva for blood, nor does it support the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai that man has no taiva for blood. Yet here, two psukim later, about the reward for refraining from blood and explaining it as blood disgusts a person, going even beyond the statement of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, Rashi tells us that man does not have a taiva for blood and he is disgusted by it. The Rebbe brings another rule of Rashi at this point, that when Rashi brings an explanation and the name of the Baal HaMaimer, the one who said it, it's significant in contribution to the explanation of Rashi itself. What then is the importance of knowing that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Azai give us these two explanations? As well, these explanations are brought by Rashi as sourced from the Sefri. Yet in the Sefri, the opinion expressed by Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is also said in the name of Rabbi Gamliel. Should Rashi, in bringing the second opinion, not then have said, Rabbi Seinu Amru, our mentors or our masters have taught us, including both Rabbi Shimon ben Azai and Rabbi Gamliel. Looking further at the source for this Rashi into the Sefri, there are more changes, says the Rebbe, that need to be explored, both in what is omitted from the original Sefri and in what is added to the original Sefri. Of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi brings the explanation that they were shtufin bedam. In the Sefri, however, it says that Rabbi Yehuda says before Matan Torah they were shtufin bedam. Before Matan Torah they were deeply involved in blood. Shehayu, in the words of the Sefri, shehayu shtufin bedam koidem Matan Torah. By omitting the words koidem Matan Torah, before Matan Torah, Rashi is creating an explanation that in fact is the opposite to what the Sefri quotes from Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk in our parsha was said 39 years after Matan Torah, in the 40th year of their desert sojourn. Rashi should then have said, Chazak mipnei shehoyu shtufim bedam, be strong because they had been immersed in blood. Strengthen yourselves because they used to be immersed in this taiva. This is an omission that Rashi makes in this explanation. In fact, according to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation, quoted in the Sifri, that before Matan Torah, they were involved in this taiva. In other words, they are no longer, as it is taught in past tense, they were before Matan Torah, i.e., they are no longer. There would be no disagreement here with Rabbi Shimon ben Azai's opinion that they don't have a taiva for it. In other words, now, after Matan Torah, and because they were warned against consuming blood several times, they no longer have this taiva. Rashi brings both explanations, and by omission in the explanation of Yehuda, makes it so that the two explanations are no longer compatible. They are no longer in agreement in any way. On the other hand, Rashi adds to the Sifri, where Rashi expands on the words of Rabbi Yehuda, who is quoted in the Sifri as saying on the words of our Pasuk, "Be strong, rak chazak, levilti echol hadam, refrain from eating the blood." Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Magid shehayu shtufim bedam, koidem matan Torah. Rabbi Yehuda says, this tells us that they were flooded in blood before matan Torah. Rashi's words attributing them to Rabbi Yehuda, Mimashenemar chazak ata loimed, shehayu shtufin bedam laachlei, leficha chutzrichu leimer chazak, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi adds to the words of the Sifri. In the Sifri, the words are, rak chazak levilti echol hadam, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Magid shehoyu shtufin bedam koide matan Torah. This tells us that they were steeped in the consumption of blood before matan Torah. Rashi adds the words to Rabbi Yehuda's words and quotes him and says, Mimashenemar, from that which it says, Chazak, strengthen yourselves. They were involved in the consumption of blood. For eating purposes, Rashi's addition. Therefore, they needed to be told, chazak, they needed to be told, be strong. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi has added several words. And the word la'achlai, they were flooded and steeped in this desire, this taiva, to eat it. Another addition Rashi makes is in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, adding the words she'ein adam mis'avelai, man does not desire it, to Rabbi Shimon's actual words, which are quoted in the Sifri as madam she'ein b'chol hamitzvahs kal mimenu. What is blood? It is the simplest of all the mitzvahs. It is the lightest, the easiest mitzvah in the Torah. And the Torah warns us, chazak, be strong. Why does Rashi, add the words, she'ein adam mis'avaloi? Man is not tempted by it. Man does not desire it. Now, as happens throughout history, there were several printings and versions of commentaries that contained either errors or sometimes additions. And perhaps we can suggest that Rashi had a different version of the Sifri. And therefore, we see these omissions or these additions. Yet, therein would lie yet another question. Rashi certainly had the addition of the Sifri that we are learning from, and why did then Rashi choose this rare version of the Sifri and not a more broadly common version of the Sifri like the one that we are using? And the Rebbe says Rashi surely had this at his disposal. The Rebbe suggests the following to explain all of this. The warning, Chazak, be strong, and not to consume blood, is being given in Dvorim, in Eila HaDvorim, at the end of 40 years of desert wandering. The entire generation that left Egypt is no longer alive. In fact, Torah has warned us not to consume blood on several occasions by now. The first time was just after the giving of the Torah, or in the giving of the Torah. Yet, this, in Re'ei, is the first time that we are warned with the word Chazak. Rabbi Yehuda's words would have led us to understand that they were shtufin in blood only before Matan Torah. Therefore, Rashi adds the words to Rabbi Yehuda's words, because it says, Mimashe ne'emar chazak, be strong. Mimashe ne'emar kan, adds the Rebbe, because it says it here, be strong. Ataloy meitshehoyu shtufin bedam le'echle. You learn that they were in this extreme habit of consuming blood. In fact, they were in the habit of consuming blood, says the Rebbe, at this period of time, at the end of the 40 years in the desert. And yet, this, says the Rebbe, does not negate the explanation of Reb Shimon, who says they did not have a taiva to blood. How is this possible? And the Rebbe explains that they did not consume blood as a taiva. They perhaps consumed blood for another reason, not as part of an idol worship, which would be a taiva for blood, but in fact, for many, many years after leaving Mitzrayim, they consumed blood either for health reasons or because they believed consuming blood brought good fortune, much like Chazal say in Maseches Brachos, kol nefesh meshiv nefesh, anything close to the soul restores the soul. Yet, says the Rebbe, this does not help us to understand why specifically here, in our source pasuk, at the end of 40 years in Dvarim, they were first told, Chazak bedam, be strong. Why not in Vayikra, particularly when they received the Torah? And more particularly, they were warned so many times against consuming blood long before the 40th year. How can we suggest that with all the warnings, they were still so absorbed in this practice? What complicates this further is the fact that at the end of 40 years, when the entire population that left Egypt had passed on, the generation surely did not inherit this a bad eating habit from their parents. Certain aspects of a person indeed pass from parent to child, but not the things they eat, surely, says the Rebbe. And this is why Rashi does not suffice just with the explanation of Rabbi Yehuda, and brings a second explanation of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, whose explanation tells us this word, chazak, is not because they were still consuming blood, but rather it's relevant at all times to all mitzvahs, an easy one just as a difficult one, that this was an easy one. But chazak is a lesson to be careful with a mitzvah that is easier to fulfill, just like a mitzvah that is more difficult. And Rashi adds they had no taiva for it. Why does Rashi add these words? The Rebbe explains that since the reason one stays away from blood is because man doesn't have a taiva for it, it could then be understood that this would be the situation now here too upon receiving this command, chazak. As well, Rashi adds the words, they had no taiva for it, to omit the idea that they were disgusted by it. Though the idea of being disgusted by blood would not negate the possibility of their consuming blood, as just mentioned, that a person might be disgusted by a practice, but still participate in it for other reasons, health reasons or otherwise, as we just mentioned. But were this to be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, then the two opinions that they were disgusted by it, the two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that they did consume blood, and Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, who doesn't say that, who says that it was for purposes of strengthening ourselves in a mitzvah, in an easy mitzvah too, would be that much more at odds with one another if the Rebbe would have, if Rashi would have added not just that they had no taiva, but they were disgusted by it. And so Rashi adds that they had no taiva for it. In fact, it would oppose the practical reality that one who has been warned over and over to refrain from something and has no natural taiva for this, there would be no need to suggest that they were disgusted by this, as though this disgust would have kept them away from consuming the blood. Yet Rashi is clearly not satisfied with the second explanation that chazak is for purposes of a larger lesson in mitzvahs, and he brings it thus as the additional second explanation, because in the final analysis, the word chazak is brought only by this warning for blood. So while Reb Shimon ben Azai is saying it was a lesson, and Rashi even adds that it is not difficult because they had no taiva for it, ultimately it seems blood requires a stronger warning, a chazak. And indeed, this is why Rashi brings the first explanation of Rabbi Yehuda. Particularly when we look at the verses that precede this warning. When we enter the land of Israel, we will be able to eat meat, other than the meat of Karbonus. These psukim speak specifically about the permissibility to eat certain meats that are simply desired and had been until then prohibited from eating just for pleasure. In the words of Pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'achalto bisharecha b'chol avas nafshecha, in your cities you will, upon entering the land, will be permitted to eat whatever meat your soul desires. And then two psukim later, the pasuk under discussion in our sicha, and the warning, however, be strong and don't eat the blood. The word rak, only, or however, distinctly connects these two verses, and seemingly too connects the idea of desire. It's for this reason that Rashi brings the words of Rabbi Yehuda first, and adds the words to Rabbi Yehuda's explanation that from what is said here, in other words, the verse about eating meat from where, for which there is a taiva, and the words rak chazak, only be strong and don't eat the blood, seems that they were, again, in the words of Rabbi Yehuda, shtufin bedam. They were eating blood. They did desire this. And Rashi adds the words la'achloi, and omits lifnei matan Torah. But we're still left with the question posed earlier, that so many years later, and after so many warnings, how is it possible to suggest that they're still so involved in this practice, shtufin bedam? And here, at this point, the Rebbe speaks to the unique opinions of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, and says, a seasoned scholar and a smart Talmud will ask why each two individual opinions are taught by these two individual scholars. Why do they each disagree on the explanation of the other? Why is one explanation so difficult for the other? And why is one explanation less difficult than the other? And it is to answer these questions that Rashi brings the explanations in the names of those who said them. We find that regarding a slaughtered carcass that becomes nevela and not permissible for consumption, as discussed in this week's Torah portion, the Torah commands that it be given away to the ger who may eat it, or sold to a non-Jew. The term given away is used in regards to the ger, the convert, And the term sold is used in regards to the non-Jew. And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that this is a very literal directive, and that in fact the meat can only be given to a ger, a convert, and only be sold to a non-Jew. Versus the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who says it doesn't matter how the meat is transferred, but that only a ger and a nochri, a non-Jew, can consume them. The view of Rabbi Yehuda is very literal, and so too is his view as it impacts on the pasuk in our discussion regarding chazak, being careful with blood. If there is a warning about being strong and avoiding blood, it is because, in the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, they were deeply immersed in this practice. Now, despite the fact that there are all the questions about why would they still be consuming blood, etc., rather than suggest that it's about the mitzvahs in general, as Rabbi Shimon does, he remains true to the literal words of the pasuk and its literal explanation. And to wit, Rashi adds, Mima she'ne'emar, based on specifically what it says, you learn that they, as is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, were shtufin bedam. The method used by Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is found to be different, in that he uses the opportunity to always teach a means of encouraging and strengthening mitzvah performance, emphasizing also the mitzvah kala, the easier mitzvah, as is the well-known teaching in Pirkei Avos and Perek Dalet, Ben Azai Oimer, have a rutz lemitzvah kala kechamura, run to perform a light mitzvah like to a more stringent mitzvah, or as the Alter Rebbe's nusach is in his siddur, without the comparison to a stringent mitzvah, the directive is just rush to do a mitzvah kala. For the performance of a mitzvah prompts the actions of yet another mitzvah. And as the Mishnah continues, Ben Azai says, run away from sin, for one sin prompts another. Thus, the shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is that in regards to the prohibition of blood, even though it is an easy mitzvah, it's a mitzvah kala, one should be chazak, one should be strong, and one should run from it. If a mitzvah saseh, one should be as he is quoted as saying, run to an easier mitzvah. And if a loy saseh, a prohibition, one should run, flee from a prohibition. This lesson is to strengthen us, says Rabbi Shimon, and this is his method of teaching in all mitzvah performance. And this word chazak, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, is to encourage this care with all mitzvahs, just like he says, run to or run from. So it seems, says the Rebbe, that we learn from this that the general shita of Rabbi Yehuda is to see the very literal and absolute meaning of the words in a pasuk, dvorim kichsavam, the words as they are written. The method of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is to see, to run to a mitzvah kala and flee from an avera, to do so with enthusiasm. But how do we know that though they each have a unique method, they would not also agree with one another? That Rabbi Yehuda would not agree with what we read to strengthen ourselves in our mitzvah performance based on the word chazak, and that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai would not agree with Rabbi Yehuda, who explains that chazak means literally strengthen yourself in the area in this prohibition. The Rebbe answers this by exploring a source in Masechta Brachos, which says, we learn in a brisa that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai says, once I followed Rabbi Akiva into the Beis HaKisei, into the lavatory, and I observed and learned three things from him. He discusses then the different things that he learned. Rabbi Yehuda comments and says to him, Ad kan he asta fanecha beravcha? To this extent is your disrespect for your teacher? To which Rav Shimon ben Azai answers, but this is all Torah, and I need to learn. What are they really disagreeing about? Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if there is Torah to be learned, then it's in the Beis Medrash, asking halachic questions, kirogil, as per usual, and therefore his demand, or his demanding inquiry, this is how great your disrespect is? Yet Rabbi Shimon ben Azai, who speaks of running to do a mitzvah, even a kala, surely he holds similarly about needing to know and understand and learn a halacha. And so too, to do that means going out of the Beis HaMidrash to learn halacha lamaisa, actual performance. And there are numerous halachas around this area, which he was clearly seeking to understand as per his shita in this way. And it's a clear Maimar Chazal that halacha is learned not from discussing it or from hearing an example of the halacha enacted, which could leave room for doubt as to performance in other situations, but rather from observing halacha lemaisa, actual performance. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon ben Azai followed Rabbi Akiva into the laboratory. This will help us understand the question that is asked by the Maharsha, who poses the question, who forced ben Azai into this situation where he followed Rabbi Akiva into the lavatory and didn't just ask him his questions directly? The concern was maybe he wouldn't have thought of what questions to ask. The Rebbe suggests at this point that he did not merit, the Rebbe speaks of himself and says that he did not merit to understand this fine point. Couldn't he just ask his teacher and master, couldn't Rav Shimon just ask, Rav Shimon ben Azai just ask his teacher and master of Akiva if there was anything he needed to know or to ask that he may not have been asking? And this, says the Rebbe, is precisely the point. His method was to perform everything in Torah in a manner of haste and enthusiasm to such an extent that it would lead him right into the lavatory following his teacher to observe him. But this method of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai is questioned and challenged by Rabbi Yehuda, who does not agree with this at all. Similarly, says the Rebbe, we find that Rabbi Shimon ben Azai strongly disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda in regard to the pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, which reads, Machshefa loy sechaya, that a witch should not be left to live. And similarly, in the pasuk, kol shoychev im behema, mois yumas, one who lies with an animal will surely die. How does Rabbi Shimon ben Azai see these two psukim? He is of the opinion that because these two are written in Torah near one another, then the punishment for both of these is skila, as the punishment for machshefa lo sechaya is skila. Rabbi Yehuda, however, disagrees and says that the proximity cannot be a reason for learning that strong a punishment, that this strong punishment, for a machshefa, just because it's near the avera of kol sheichev and behema, one who lies with an animal, like he would lie with a person, for which the punishment for the one is skila, one can't just learn it, that the punishment for kol sheichev and behema is skila, just because of proximity. Rather, because there is a pasuk, says, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, which discusses an oiv and a yedoini, necromancers, and their punishment, which is skila, we can learn that the punishment for other witchcraft is stoning. This idea of smuchin determining a halacha from the proximity of two ideas in Torah is common to the teachings of Rabbi Shimon ben Azai. But Rabbi Yehuda definitely takes a position this time where Rabbi Shimon teaches this way and he disagrees and says that we need to find clear indication in the pasuk, which he finds from the verse on the necromancers. and only thereby agrees that the machshefa in general gets skila, stoning, like the one who is sheichev, who lies with a behema. The Rebbe concludes the sicha, teaching us the deeper understanding of our discussion. When warning us regarding blood, the pasuk states, Hadam hu hanefesh, the blood is the life force. And in an animal too, say the mefarshim, the life force, the nefesh, is found in the flesh. Yet there is a distinction, says the Rebbe, between saying that the life force is found in the flesh to the blood is the life force itself, as it says in our pasuk. The Rebbe explains that everything we eat becomes transformed into the blood and flesh of the individual who consumed the food. And thus, the nature of what we eat becomes part of one's nature, which is why we are not permitted to consume cruel animals. When a person eats meat that is permissible, however, the nefesh of the behema, the life force, does not become absorbed by the individual, particularly because he chews and digests the food so that it becomes useful to the human parameters necessitated in self-nourishment. Concerning the blood of the animal, the essential life force, were that consumed, would, however, cause one to become impacted by the essence of the animal itself, and to become attached to the very nature of the beast, affecting our behaviors and our midas. Which means that one who is shtufin bedam, involved in the consumption of blood, has characteristics and behaviors that are of and like this animal. And this really explains the two explanations that Rashi brings. Rabbi Yehuda's explanation that we are shtufin bedam and thus must be told chazak, and the word chazak is a statement to the work we must do with our nefesh habahamis and the changes we must make in repairing and purifying our animal selves. Rabbi Yehuda, in particular, is the one from whom we learn this, as the name Yehuda reflects man's level of gratitude and humility. As we read in the verse where Leah names Yehuda and says, "This time I will thank God." But the name Shimon and the Avodah of Reb Shimon ben Azai, which was enthusiasm, alacrity, always running either towards or away from, reflects the energy of Ratzoi, of grasping the mitzvah. The warning, says Reb Shimon, about blood doesn't teach us about rectification of midos, but rather it warns us to be careful, enthusiastic about mitzvahs. The word warning, says the Rebbe, lahazhircha, comes from the root word zohar, to illuminate, chazak, strengthen yourselves to be illuminated with the mitzvahs and to become elevated through the divine light inherent in each mitzvah. Even in the mitzvah, which is not a struggle. It's not only the mitzvah, says the Rebbe, which is a struggle that can cause an elevation. In fact, because one isn't challenged by a mitzvah, he must emphasize care with that mitzvah, so that will to do the mitzvah becomes separate and separated from man's base nature. Certainly, so much more so, says the Rebbe, with a mitzvah that is difficult, which one may have a natural taiva for and thus finds difficulty with the performance of a mitzvah. One must endeavor to strengthen and elevate oneself away from this base nature. And the Rebbe concludes, and into the light of God and Torah observance.